this is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm talking about the opioid epidemic with McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis and Joan Hartman, Vice President of Behavioral Health at Chestnut Health Systems. Yesterday, President Trump declined to declare a national emergency related to opioids, going against the recommendation of his own commission that's chaired by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, that would have allowed the Trump administration to remove some barriers and waive some federal rules, such as one that restricts where Medicaid recipients can receive addiction treatment. Trump seems to favor an abstinence approach to drug use, keeping young people off drugs from the start, combined with harsher sentencing in drug cases. Kathy, what did you think of this idea of potentially declaring this a national emergency and ultimately of President Trump's decision to go in another direction and not to do so?
You know, it's a catch-22. So it could have been declared a national emergency, but, you know, I agree with prevention, not getting people on opioids, not getting them addicted to heroin. So education, I think is, you know, educating the consumer, the patient or the addict, education to the physicians, to the pharmacists, to everyone involved. So yes, not to take drugs, not to get there. Or if you do have to take an opioid for a pain from a surgery or a fracture, to start low and go slow on the medications instead of prescribing a lot. Also, you know, there's different types of therapy that they can use. But by the same token, you have to realize that there's a problem out there. So I don't know what they wanted. I'm not well versed on if they had declared it a national emergency, what were they going to do? What would be the after effect? Would they take, you know, opioids or pain meds out of the equation and where it would be difficult to prescribe? Joan probably sees that some of these patients do need the pain medications, that the health insurance does need to pay for some of them. So it can't be the one extreme or the other. There's got to be a happy medium on how to take care of these patients, and then, you know, how to not prescribe it, but also if they're prescribed, how to take care of it. So it can't be an end-all be-all.
Joan, what about you? What were your thoughts on the Trump administration's moves on this yesterday?
I didn't see a big benefit in declaring it an epidemic. You know, the CDC talks about an epidemic is usually something that's short-term, and this is not necessarily something that is short term. It's something that we've been dealing with for years, and it's not going to be solved in the next 6 months. And really, the biggest benefit to declaring it, that would be access to funds. Well, that fund only has $57,000 in it. So it's not like they're, you know, at the end of 2016, it only had $57,000 in that fund. So it's not like there's going to be a lot of money they're going to be able to access to address the issue.
So, Joan, what are some things that lawmakers, either in Congress or even here in Illinois, could do to actually make things better?
You know, I really agree with the report and the recommendations to start really enforcing parity, because there are a lot of insurance companies who won't pay for detox services for opioid dependents because it's not life-threatening. But, you know, if you talk with someone who has an addiction to an opioid, it feels pretty life-threatening when they're going through withdrawal. If you look at the fact that they're going through, if you experienced the flu, multiply that by 10, and that's what withdrawal from an opioid feels like. And so if someone's going through that, they're likely to say, you know what, if I just take another dose of whatever I'm on, the opioid, I'll feel better. They're going to do that rather than go through that uncomfortableness. And so I really think that, you know, enforcing parity, making sure that it gets paid for, we have to stop kind of playing the shell game where we just move money from one pot to another in order to address this. And we also have to fund the Medicaid, because Medicaid has been the biggest, lack of funds has been the biggest barrier to people receiving help. And so Medicaid has increased the ability for people to receive treatment services. And so that's, I think, one of the biggest areas is funding and parity. I want people to understand that recovery is is there for everybody, mm-hmm. and that it doesn't matter. We have to stop looking at this as somebody else's problem. These people are our brothers, our sisters, our kids. They're our neighbors. They're the people that we talk to every day that we don't know are struggling with issues like this. And we have to stop making judgment calls on them, and we have to start reaching out and making sure that they get the help that they need. And that recovery is possible for everybody. Research shows that. Recovery is possible for everybody.
That's Joan Hartman, Vice President of Behavioral Health at Chestnut Health Systems. She's joined today by McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can find a link to the new report issued by the White House's Commission on Combating Drug Addiction and the Opioid Crisis on our website, wglt.org.